this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Of his faithfulness and how he has walked with God. You know, when I think about David Wilkerson, I think about Moses. And I almost draw that parallel there. A man, a woman, seeking after the heart of God. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. It's just seeking after the heart of God. Seeking God. Having a hunger for God. A true hunger. Because I believe this is something that is missing in today's church. This is something that we can quickly miss as people who are charismatic. We can hide a lot of things after raising hands, or behind raising hands and joining small group and all of that. It's easy to hide that. A true hunger for God. And nothing in this world will happen if we don't have a hunger for God. Because when we have a hunger for God, God will allow these things to come across our paths. Anguish, deep distress, a deep emotional hurt for this world, for the people around us. That's where the hunger of God will drive us. Because in that pool, God's desires will be birthed in our hearts. And that is what will last for all of eternity. Concerns don't last. Like he also stipulated. You know, a concern is an emotional thing. But something that has gripped my heart, something that is born from my spirit, will stay forever. And I pray that God will bring us to that place of complete, utter, desperate hunger for Him. That we will yearn for His presence like we've never yearned for it before. That His presence will be our ultimate goal every single day. And that nothing will take that desire away. That is my heart. That is my desire. That is my cry. When I listen to this man, I hear a man who will not go unless he is satisfied in God. He will keep on pushing until he is satisfied in God. I hear passion. I hear fire. I hear resilience. I hear a fighter. And I hear love. In all of that, I hear love as well. A love for God. And this love for God was born from this place of desperateness. Was born from a place of maybe even hopelessness. A place of despair. Where all he had was one thing, and that is the name of Yahweh. The great I am. All he had was a prayer. And my friends, God has destined that for all of us. Not only once, but in a few occasions in our life, that we will come to a place where we realize we've got nothing but God now. Nothing but God. If God doesn't come through here, I'm stuffed. I'm not going to make it. And God does it on purpose. And I believe it's because Christians don't want to come to this place of desperateness. They don't want to come. And I'll be honest, neither do I. I don't really want to come to the place of desperateness. It's not a nice place to be. Yeah? But that is the very reason why so few Christians know the great I am. That is the very reason why I believe we live in a powerless Christian society. Because we've not seen what God can do in our lives. And God will start to interact, intervene, when we are at the place of complete surrender, where it's all about Him and none about us. I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen. I've known God now for a short while, only 11, 12 years. But even in a short walk, I've seen it happen. That in a place of desperateness, how God reveals Himself. We as believers must come to the place where we realize that what is impossible with us is possible with God. And unfortunately, I think for many of us, it's a theory. It's not a practical experience. We know the Word says it, so we sort of believe it. But it's a belief in the head. It's not a belief from the heart yet. Matthew 19:26 says, with God, all things are possible. It is a truth. It is a scriptural truth. But I want to know how many of us have experienced that scriptural truth. In order to get to that place of experiencing the power, the healing, the provision of God, we first need to get to that place of desperateness. We first need to get to that place where we are, ourselves are at our end, so God can be all and we can be nothing. That's why John said, I need to decrease and Jesus needs to increase. He needs to become more and I need to become less. Because if I become less, God can do what He actually wants to do. The power of God. The love of God. I wonder how many Christians have experienced it. I wonder how many Christians have become content with a powerless life. With a life that is, let me just survive this age until I see Jesus. How many Christians today have become content with that type of lifestyle? And I can assure you, that is not the will of God. God's will is that we live in the abundance that Jesus has come to bring us. That we will live in the love, the anointing, and the power that God has predestined for those who believe unto His Son. That is the desire of God. And tonight, my friends, I can just sense it's going to get hot in here. But it's going to be good. Yeah, we're going to be challenged tonight. God is going to... That's fine, thanks God. God is going to challenge us. He's challenged me tremendously through this Word. But like He said, and I love what He said, come on, it's getting late. Let's get real. Let's get real. Time is too short to waste. Let's get real about God. Let's get real about our relationship with God. And let's trust to see the fullness of God in our lives. We need to come to that place where we cry out to God. And like I said, so many Christians have not yet really come to that place where if God doesn't come through now, my life is over. That state of desperateness. I think many, many Christians today, they've heard of testimonies of people who have experienced the power of God. So they know that it is true, but they themselves have not walked that road. And I believe that God wants every single one of us to walk that road. That road where we know God is who He says He is. He is more than able. He is the great I Am. And His Word is true. And in order for that to happen in our lives, my friends, something that God has to show me as well, and reiterated for me, is that you must be prepared for your comfort to be shaken. You must be prepared for your comfort to be shaken. Now, when we think comfort, immediately we think material things. That's not necessarily the case. I know many, well, not many, but I do know Spirit-filled, Bible-believing, very wealthy Christians, and they're not going to be shaken necessarily in a natural means, in a financial means. But I know that their lives have been shaken in many other areas. The point is, our comfort will be shaken. God is more interested in our character than our comfort. Our character is number one. Comfort is not even on the list, honestly. That's not even a number 5 or 6 or 10. That's not really important. What is important to God is the character of His people. And I believe that the danger of pursuing a happy and a comfortable Christian life is that we can miss God completely in it. If that is what we seek, a comfortable Christian life, a relaxed Christian life, we're going to miss God. We're going to become frustrated. And we're going to live a substandard life that will not please You at all. The rivers of living water will not flow. We cannot pursue happiness and in the process neglect the purpose and the will of God. We cannot do that. That is will be a vital error on our behalf, on our part. Because when that happens, our hearts will just draw further and further and further away from God. When we start to chase the fruit of salvation instead of salvation itself, Jesus Christ, we're on the wrong track. We cannot chase the fruit of salvation. It's salvation that matters. It's Jesus that matters. When I start to idolize the benefits of salvation and I don't idolize the author of salvation, then I'm going to trip and I'm going to fall hard. And we must just ask ourselves, what am I chasing? The benefits or the author? Because only one can give life. And when we do that, when we do start to chase the benefits, that's also when we start to lose our first love. You remember that day that you got reborn? Who can remember that day when you were reborn? Do you remember that next year, 2 years, that joy? It's just everything was, you're like on honeymoon with God the whole time. Huh? This amazing joy that you have. It's just this first love is so passionate, it's so real. But then that also starts to dwindle after a while. Yeah? And Jesus wants us to bring us back to that place of first love. And he talks to the church of Ephesus. And you know, the Ephesus Christians were very effective in what they did. If you actually go and read the whole of Revelations 2, you will see Ephesus, they did many good works. Works that pleased God, pleased Jesus. And he actually said it. He said, look, all these things you've done amazingly well. Well done. But then he says in verse 4, but this I have against you, that you have lost your first love. Or you have abandoned your first love. And I believe that, unfortunately, we sit with a lot of Ephesus Christians today. Christians that do a lot of good work. And it's works that's worthy to be talked about, you know. And God acknowledges the works. But he says, where's your first love? Where is your first love? Do you still yearn for me? Do you still have a hunger for me? Do you still desire to be in my presence? Or has these works become a religious chore that I need to do because others expect it of me? Where is the first love? God is looking for spirit to cry out to spirit, for deep to cry out to deep. Because if I do that, then whatever I do will be led by the Spirit of God. And that's not dead works. That is works that is alive, that honors God, gives Him glory, and bless the people around me. My friends, we will never, ever know God intimately if we're not placed in a situation or in situations where only God can save us from that predicament. Can I say that again? You will never know God intimately if you don't find yourself every now and again in a situation where only God can save you from that specific predicament. That situation where I realize that my skills is not enough. My anointing is not enough. My ability is not enough. My resources is not enough. My education is not enough. All of this is not enough. Were you in a situation that all you have is a prayer to God? God, if you don't save me from this, I'm not going to make it. Because I've tried everything and it doesn't work. And it will not work. Because certain situations, only God can save. Only God can redeem. God will bring these situations over our path so that we may know Him in His power. You know, if everything is always going as I want it to go, why would I need faith towards God? Can I say that again? If everything always goes as I want it to go, why would I need faith in God? God will not allow that to happen to His children. He's too dedicated to us. He loves us too much. He's committed for us to become like His Son. You know, God is not interested in becoming a theory in our minds, my friends. He's not interested in being a trilogy, a story from a book. That is not what God wants to be. God does not do theory. God does practical. God is a God of practice. He wants to prove Himself on our behalves. He wants us to see what He can do on our behalves. On our behalf. Why? Because He's real. God wants to be the Father of our hearts. He wants to be the Father of our lives. Where we can cry out to the Almighty and know that He will answer because He is a loving Father. He's not a theory. He's not someone that I read about in a book. He has become real to me. I know Him. Adonai, Yahweh, my Father. I know Him by name. God is interested to become real and practical to His children. He wants us to know what His commitment is to us. He wants us to understand it. He wants us to see how He is faithful, how He is just, how He will redeem, and how He is able. He wants us to see what we can do through Him, through His power. He wants us to know that if you follow me, my child, if you are committed to me, if you dedicate, surrender your life, and put your faith in me, I will come through for you every single day. You will know me by name. In practice, you will see what I do on your behalf. But you need to hunger for me. You need to seek me. And I believe, unfortunately, because of the comforts of our age, we have stopped seeking God. Truly seeking. Seeking for His presence. Seeking His voice. God, what is your will in this situation? There's so many decisions that we decide. And it wasn't actually our choice. It was actually God's decision that needed to prevail there. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways and He shall direct your path. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It's the foundation of my faith. Well, part of the foundation of my faith. That if I acknowledge God in all my ways, in other words, I give decision making over to Him, He directs my paths. It's a promise of the Word. I stand on that promise. Every bad decision that I've made was a decision that I made in my own, either through my own selfish motives or because I didn't acknowledge God in it. Every bad decision. All other decisions that worked out because I acknowledged God in it. So God, You lead me. You lead me. You show me the way. And He did. Why? Because I aligned myself to Scripture. And He proved Himself faithful and true. That promise is available to all of us. God wants us to see how committed He is to us. And He will put us in situations. I know we don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. But it's true. He will put us in situations where we will come to our end so that we can see who He is. So that we can see what He is able to do on our behalf. And so that He alone can get glory as well. I'm going to chat about that a little bit later. Because, my friends, it's all about His glory, so by the way. It's not about our glory. It's about the glory of our Father. To know God will come at a price. Yeah, I know, Jesus has already paid the price. I tell you, if you want to know God, you are still going to pay a price. Psalm 23, verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because You are with me, Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. The price, I will walk through the valley of the shadow of death. In other words, I will go through tough times. Why? So that I may learn not to fear evil. Even though I go through tough times, I do not have to fear this tough time. Why? Why shouldn't I fear this tough time? Because God is with me. How do I know it? I see how He redeemed me from the tough times. Does it make sense? Because God is with me. When I find myself in that predicament, when I find myself in that valley of the shadow of death, I can know, I can see, as I surrender to God, as I allow Him to redeem the situation, I see the impossible happen. I see God making the impossible possible. And my faith is stirred towards this almighty love being that is dedicated to me. Because I'm His son. I'm His daughter. And He loves me. He wants me to see who He is. He wants me to know Him. Not only, again, what a book tells me, and I don't say it with any disrespect. He wants us to know who He is in practice. So that we can go out into this world and know who backs us. Fearing nothing. Fearing no one. Fearing not the valley of the shadow of death, especially. Because we have seen what God can do in that valley. God wants us to see His salvation. He wants us not only to see, but to experience His provision. He wants us to experience His healing. He wants us to experience His miracles, even in the most unlikely of circumstances. But my friends, it will cost us our comfort if we want to see the glory of God. If we want to see the glory of God, it will cost us our comfort. And like I said, comfort does not necessarily relate to finances. What I have to ask myself today is, where are the God chasers? The people that are chasing God on a continuous basis. Where are the people who want to worship God in spirit and in truth? Who don't just talk about it, who actually practice it. Where are the people who will mourn before God because of the wickedness of this age that we find ourselves in? They will go into an inner room and weep before God for what is happening. When is the last time that I have mourned before God? I don't know. That tells me there's something wrong. Just being open and frank here with you today. That tells me something needs to be changed in you. If we don't come to the place of weeping, of mourning before God, of crying our heart out before God, seeking His face in surrender, in humility, being on our knees, desiring for Him to come through in a certain situation, something's not stirring. Something's amiss. Something needs to change. Something needs to change. God wants His kingdom to come. But He needs people who He can entrust His kingdom to. I'm still looking for the... I see them. But I'm continuously looking on a daily basis the people that say, truthfully say, Lord, Your kingdom come. Your will be done. No matter what the cost. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. No matter what the cost. Even if it cost me my life, I'm okay with that. Lord God, even if it cost me my career, I'm okay with that. God, even if it cost me my biggest desire, I'm okay with that. I didn't actually put this in the sermon, but I just felt the Holy Spirit remind me of it now. Something I meditated on, I just feel God revealed to me that He said that there will be a desire in every believer, a deep desire, a yearning, that He will not allow to come to pass. Everyone will have at least one such desire in their life. And the reason why I say it is because Jesus is our teacher, right? I'm going to show you later where the word says, you know, the student isn't higher than the teacher, right? So we're basically going to walk the road of Christ. Christ desired in the Garden of Gethsemane not to go to the cross. Jesus was not excited about the cross. The Father did not grant it. Because the Father, there was a bigger purpose to Jesus' death. A much bigger purpose. That's why we can congregate tonight. But there will also be a desire in every life, including my own, that God will not meet. That He will say, no, not now. And only when you see me, my face, you will understand why not. The question is, are we still going to be faithful even though God does not meet that specific desire that you so desperately want? Are we still going to be faithful? Are we still going to follow Him? Or is our love to Christ conditional? If you don't meet this, then I walk out. That is not agape. That is not unconditional love. God has committed Himself to us unconditionally. And my friends, I can assure you that if God does not answer a specific prayer, if He does not allow a specific desire to come, you know, to come to pass, you can know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. You can stand on that. God doesn't play tricks. God doesn't play hide and seek. God is just real. And what are we going to hold fast on, or hold fast to? Our dream, our desire, or Jesus? What is more important? A question that we need to, what I need to ask myself on a continuous basis. God will reveal Himself to those who seek His face. God will reveal Himself to those who seek His face. What is more important? Glory of God or my comfort? What am I willing to surrender to see the face of God? What am I willing to surrender to see the face of God? Am I willing to cut TV time? Am I willing to cut internet time where I waste time? I also said a lot on the internet because I need to do a lot of work on the internet. I can't help it. But I'm talking about wasting time. This afternoon, I was like downloading 2 or 3 apps. Got a new smartphone. So, you know, it goes, you know, you need to jack this thing up with all the apps that's available on the market. But there's like literally thousands. And before I knew it, I got myself caught up in checking out all the apps. And I realized like a half an hour just went by like that. It should have been prep time, actually. Yeah. But I got snatched away like that. And I just realized, hang on, whoa. Cut it right here, man. Get back into the Word in preparation for the Word tonight. It happens so easily. What are we willing to give up to see the face of God? What do you hunger for? What is your passion? What is your desire? Is it God? Or is it what God can give us? Is it God, or is it what God can give us? I believe that powerless, loveless, and self-directed hearts is a result of double-mindedness. Double-mindedness. Double-mindedness says, you know what? I want your kingdom to come, but just remember about A, B, C, D, and E. It's conditional. I want the kingdom to come, but on my conditions. So, your kingdom come, my will be done. Double-mindedness. God doesn't work like that. James 1, 7 to 8 talks about the double-minded man. And he says there that, you know, we shouldn't expect, the double-minded man shouldn't expect to receive anything from God because the main reason, actually what he's saying there is, the main reason is because Jesus is not on the throne yet. I've allowed Jesus in my life as my Savior, but I've not allowed Him into my life as my Lord. But Jesus is not on the throne yet. That is why I'm double-minded. I want my desires, and God, I will want your desires as well, but when I get time for that. And God says, whoa, but you know, it doesn't work like that. We cannot expect answers from God if Jesus doesn't rule our life. And I think a lot of Christians today, they're okay to give Jesus rental permission in their life. Jesus, you can rent my life. But if I don't like what you do, I'm going to kick you out. Because in this life, I'm the landlord, you the tenant. And it's actually the other way around. God is the landlord. We are the tenant. Right? God owns, my friends. He doesn't lease. God is the owner of all. He doesn't do renting and leasing. And in order to move away from a double-minded state, we need to come to that place of unconditional surrender and commitment. And this is a preconditioned state that we come to God and say, listen, God, you know what? Whatever does not align with your purpose, with your will, and your desire in my life, I will cut it out. It's a decision that I make beforehand. So whatever crosses my path, and we face with a lot of decisions on a daily basis, I'm sure you would agree. There's a lot of decisions that we can make. And sometimes it's difficult to choose between what is right and between what is wrong. For me, it becomes a bit more simpler when I look at the eternal perspective. What is in line with the kingdom of God and what is not? In other words, looking after my family is actually in line with the kingdom of God. Yeah? So it's okay, I can look after my family. If my family is on the streets because I've sought whatever that I thought that was from God, then God says you're actually worse off than a sinner because you're not looking after your own family. Hectic words. Yeah? But other things, you know, does it actually line up with the kingdom of God? Does it actually line up with the will of God? If it doesn't, it's very easy. It's not part of my life. I cut it out. I don't want it in my life. A hunger for God. A hunger to know Him more. A hunger to see His name being glorified. Not only in my life, but to see His name glorified even in the lives of those that I touch. Those that I see at work. Their families, friends, whoever they may be, people that surround me, a hunger to see the will of God manifest in these people's lives. Psalm 42 verse 1, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. Man, that's intense. Pants. Wishing for water. I want more. I need water. I need you, God. That's what the writer is emphasizing there. Are we panting after God? Are our souls desperate for the Lord? Are we panting or not? Tough questions. We have to ask them. Because if we don't, something needs to change. Is our hearts burdened with what God prioritizes? And this, my friends, is not something that the emotions will grasp. This is not something that the intellect can fathom. You know, we can try and embrace it intellectually. We can try and receive it emotionally. Within 2 weeks, it will be dead. A hunger for God must be birthed from the Spirit. It must be birthed from that reborn Spirit, that thing that God has made alive the day when I dedicated my life to Jesus, when I put my trust in Jesus for salvation. That Spirit that's become alive, it must be born from that place because only then it will be eternal. It will last forever. And that is what God is after. This message can be out of the door. You can forget about it by Thursday, by Tuesday. Maybe you're very tired. You'll forget it by lunchtime tomorrow. If you try and receive it in your emotion. God, I just pray that every spirit will be opened up, Lord God, to receive your word. And that you place this burden in our spirit, in Jesus' name. It must be a spiritual thing, not an emotional thing. Otherwise, it's a fleshly thing. It's a supernatural act of God. It's an act of God that aligns my purpose. It aligns my will. It aligns my desires. It aligns my heart with what is His. So His purpose, His desire, His will, His heart, and mine are one. We've got the same heartbeat. I cannot make it happen. Only God can make it happen. Ezekiel 11 verse 9. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. That is something only God can do. But you know what? I need to come to that place of acknowledging. I need to come to the place of honesty and say, God, my will is still more important than your will. It is. And that takes humility. You know what, God? My kingdom is still more important than your kingdom. I know it needs to change, but I can't change it. I can't do it on my own. I need you to do the supernatural thing in my life and change it. I know, God, that my soul is not panting after you. But I want it to. I want to yearn for you. I want you to be my enough, or to be enough for me. I still crave after other things that I believe will make me happy. I'm just being honest now with you, God. We need to become honest with God. We need to be like David. Say, you know what, God, this is just who I am. Or, you know what, God, this is who I've become. I started off right, but somewhere I got sidetracked, man. I need you to restore me. This is who I've become. Help me. Help me, Lord. Help me. You know what? This was my prayer for a while now. And it continues to be my prayer. It continues to be my prayer. It's God, change my heart. God, align me to your purpose. God, your will be done. Not my will, God. I'm not where I'm supposed to be. Just being honest with you, Lord. And I repent of that. And I pray that you will change that. Align my will with your will, Lord God. And I can't do this in my own strength. I'm desperately dependent on you. I cannot afford to rely on my abilities, on my skills, on my education, on the resources that you've given me. I cannot rely on that any longer, Lord God. I can only rely on you. You are my source. So I want to pant after you. Not for a week or two. Not for a month. Not till the end of this year. But until I see your face, Jesus. I want to pant after you. I want to know you. I want to know who you are. I want to see the Jesus, the biblical Jesus, manifest through my life. I want to know you by name. I want to walk down the street and you know what? I want to see the miracles. I want to see the signs and the wonders following. Not because that is my goal, but because you are my focus. And wherever you are, these things happen. I want to walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil because I know my God. God, change me. I want to be satisfied in you and you alone. Nothing else. Nothing else. You see, when we cry out to God and when we truly want change, that's what He gives. God responds. James 4 verse 8, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. It's a promise of God, my friends, that if we draw unto God, if we seek His face, He will draw near to us. He will reveal more of Himself to us. More and more and more and more. But remember, there is a condition. We need to draw near to God. That is the condition. It's not just going to happen. It's not going to happen when I sit on the in front of the telly 4 hours a night, every night when I come back from work. It's not going to happen there. It's going to happen when I draw unto God. When I seek His face. You know, guys, we don't have to do this. It's okay. We're still going to be saved. We're still going to enter the new Jerusalem. We're still going to see Jesus. But we're going to have a waste life. God doesn't do waste. He does big things through His people. He desires the best for His people. Yeah, and you know, just from my side, I mean, the last 12, maybe 18 months, it's been tough for me personally. I've been walking through a semi-wilderness. It wasn't all sunshine and roses, always, you know. And I wasn't satisfied with it. I came to a stage where I just said, listen, God, this is enough. I don't want this any longer. I don't want to live this powerless life. I don't want to have a heart that draws away from you. And I started to realize that my first love had dwindled. My first love had died off. Didn't vanish, but it was way back somewhere in the past. And I realized that, you know what, I was My heart wasn't yearning after God any longer. I wasn't seeking His face as I used to any longer. I said, God, this is enough. This has got to change. Because if it doesn't change, I will die. I cannot continue like this. I need You, I need Your presence, and I need to be acquainted to You on a daily basis. Not Sundays when we get together. Not with a small group. On a daily basis, Lord. I want to walk with You in the streets. I want to see Your kingdom come in the lives of my clients. I want to see Your kingdom come, Lord God, when I go to my family, when I go to my friends. I want to live the love that You have given me. And I want to see that others are blessed by it. But I can't change myself. I need You to change me. You know, and I almost gone into a state of spiritual passivity. As if I were asleep. I thought I'll just put in this picture of Mr. Roo Jr. He's in his own world there. The reason why I put it in there is just, you know, sometimes we're spiritually asleep. We've just moved to a place of, I'm okay with where I'm at. I mean, he's blissful. He's in a good place. He's in a happy place. We like it when he's like that because we can get something done usually. But you know, guys, when there's a place of rest. There's a difference between rest and being passive. There's a difference between being having rest in Christ and apathy. Yeah? That's what Andrew talked about last week, wasn't it? Apathy. Can't remember. I wasn't here. I actually spoke to someone else outside. But there's a difference between the two. We can have rest in Christ and still be effective. You know what's so amazing? That if we draw unto God, if we seek His face, and even though we may go through the situations that we don't like, the shadows, but the valley of the shadow of death, we can still have peace. My friends, I tell you now, there's no other way to know God. If you're going to try and know God by doing a five-minute Bible study on a daily basis, it's not happening. It doesn't work like that. We need to draw near to God. We need to start to develop a hunger for God. At least desire a hunger for God so that He can do the rest. Like I said, you know, I realized that my hunger for God has stopped. I wasn't panting after God any longer. And I also realized that I was in a predicament because I couldn't do it on my own. Restore, revive this hunger. This is not something I can do on my own. Only God can do it. So I decided most of the requirements, I wipe it all. My prayer checklist that I go through when I pray, I wipe it all. I've got one prayer and one prayer alone that I've been praying for a while now. God, change me. Change me. Because whatever I pursue without You doing it through me is a work of the flesh and it will not last. I need to pursue works that is led by the Spirit and not by flesh. Change me, Lord God. Henny Swart says it so beautifully. He says, God is most glorified through us when we are most satisfied in Him. God is most glorified through us when we are most satisfied in Him. The more I think about that, the more it just strikes me the truth of that statement. Satisfaction in God alone brings Him glory. And God needs to bring us to that place where we realize He is more than enough. Nothing else matters but Him. Then He receives the glory that is due to His name. When it comes to skills, talents, and abilities, very legitimate. God has given them to us and we should use them. We should use them for His glory. But you know, guys, many times we become dependent on that. Skills, talents, abilities. I have fallen in that trap. I've done that. Where I've become, I know what I'm good at. Yeah? And I focus on that. And I see the results. And then it's very easy to put God in the distance. Because you're starting to rely on your own talents and your own abilities. And God's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I tell you what, you go for that, JP. You rely on your talents and your abilities. But now I'm going to put you in a situation where they don't mean squat. Where you can only advance by my Spirit. So how are you going to do that? I want to see how my boyki operates in that scenario. You know, and in that scenario, we've got a choice. When we're in a difficult spot where our talents and our abilities and our resources, our education, all that we have doesn't matter anymore, we've got a decision. Either we can resent God or we can draw closer to Him. Either I can go into that situation because it's hopeless. I cannot get out of it. I don't have the means to get out of it. And I can allow fear to overcome me. I can allow to take a back seat and say, well, God, why are you allowing this, man? Why aren't you coming through for me? Where's your faithfulness? I can continue to question Him for the rest of my life. Or I can decide in that situation to raise my hands to heaven and say, God, in You alone I trust. I am completely dependent on You. I can't do this on my own. You need to pitch here right now, please. I'm desperate for You. God responds to that. James 4:8. He responds to that. And that's where I see the glory of God. That's where I see the graces of God. That's where I see the power of God manifesting in my circumstances, or maybe even in the lives of those around me. And I get to know my Father. I start to understand what He's able to do. But I've got a decision to make. Will I resent Him or will I draw closer to Him? I get very annoyed when we start to blame God for things. Just me. I get very annoyed with that. Because that for me is more a heart of, why don't you do what I expect you to do? What we should have is a heart of, I'm surrendered to You. Like Annie said tonight, they steal your car, so what? God, they stole your car. Go sort that guy out. Let's get a new one, whatever the case may be. Yeah? Blame God? For what? God knows what He's doing. He just wants us to stay surrendered to Him continuously. And this is what I love about Jesus, is that He's come to demonstrate what it means to be surrendered to the Almighty. He's come to demonstrate what is complete and utter dependency on Father God. John 5:19, Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of His own accord, but only what He sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. You see, Jesus walked continuously in the state of brokenness, in the state of yieldedness, in the state of submission to the Father. He has come and He's given us a live example of what it means to seek the face of God. God wants us to know that He is our ultimate source. Because it's He who provides for us, my friends. Your company does not provide for your salary. Did you know that? It's Jesus. It's the Father. He is our healer. He is the one that gives life and gives it in abundance. Have you found life in your place of desperateness? That's what God wants us to find. True life in that place of desperateness. And He wants us to experience it. He wants us to experience that provision that healing. He wants us to experience that life when we least expect it. You know why? Because then we will believe it. Up till that point, it's a theory. If we haven't experienced it yet, it's a theory for most people. He wants us to experience His love. He wants us to experience His provision. He wants us to experience His healing, His life. Short story, when we were in London, I was retrenched from a job, had a good job, good income, retrenched out of the blue. I paid off debt here in South Africa, out of money, and no provision. I mean, it was end 2007, beginning 2008 crash. So, if you try to get a job in the finance world, Benay would be able to affirm this, in London, in those times, it was almost impossible. Banks were just cutting people left, right, and center, major retrenchments across the board, and no opportunity to get a new job in that sector. I tried other avenues, nothing happened. I didn't understand it. God, why is this happening? Help me, I don't know what to do. And God's just like, relax, don't worry. And I'm like, but how can I relax? Because I've got water and electricity, I've got gas, I've got rent, I've got food, I've got a wife. You've put me in charge of this wife, Lord God. Well, in a very nice way, you know. Need to tread carefully, especially with her entering the building now. So I need to look after, I mean, all these responsibilities. The weeks ticking by, expenses going out the whole time. And we got to a place where we had literally, I think it was £150 in our bank account. It's nothing. That is not even half the gas bill. I'm not even talking about transport, food, you know, water, electricity, rent, all these other things. I'm not even talking about that. I mean, our living expenses was about £1,800, £2,000 a month. And we didn't, you know, we weren't high flyers. I'm talking about basics. So, I'm sitting there. I can remember that one night, Lorraine and I, we opened the fridge. What are we going to eat tonight? All we had was a patat. Was one patat. That's what we had. What's a patat in English? Sweet potato. One sweet potato. You know? A relatively big one. It's about that big. You know? Nice thick. You know? So it would definitely fill us. That was the last food that we had in our home. No job prospects. Nothing. I was like, God. I remember we made that sweet potato. We said, thank you, Lord, for a sweet potato. And we ate. You know? I think it was that night, Lovey. The next night, I can't remember. Friends of ours came over out of the blue. They don't know. We didn't tell anyone about our situation. Maybe it was maybe the first time you guys hear about this. Then either the same night or the night after, friends of ours come over. Two or three bags full of groceries. They stack our food for no reason. They're thinking we're doing quite all right because I earned a good salary. And everyone knew it, you know. Everyone knew I had a very good job. And they just bring food out of the blue. Thank God, you know, for this food. But it was late in the month as well. Rent was due. And, you know, all these other bills were going to come down our bank account. About 2 or 3 days later, we get an envelope that thick, just thrown through our door. About £1,000 in it. About probably a week later, someone at church, out of the blue, just said, listen, I just feel God says I must give this to you. I don't know why. I feel it's a waste because you've got so much. But okay, you just take this. Another £300-400. By the end of that month, we had more than enough to cover our bills, all our expenses, with leftovers. The month after, I got a job, another job. God brought us to that place of desperateness. Why? So that we can see how He provides supernaturally. I know what my Father can do. I know what my Father is able to do in one area. I still need to experience Him in other areas. But in that area, I know. What do you know about your Father? Have you tasted the goodness of God? Are you willing to go that place of desperateness? Are you willing to embrace it and say, okay, God, I'm willing to embrace it because I want to know you. I want to know who you are and I want to see what you can do. And then it becomes a practical reality. I pray that God will lead us to that place where we realize that our talents, our abilities is not sufficient. In that state, I, good education, good experience, I couldn't get a job. God says, I don't care about your talents and your experience. I'm not going to open any door for you right now because I want you to see what I can do. I pray that we will come to the place where we continuously cry out to God Almighty, where we will be satisfied with nothing less than the fullness of the Holy Spirit who leads us, who directs us, and who fills us. And I pray in Jesus' name that everything that keeps us away from knowing Father God, that that will be removed. Whatever that is. I don't care what that is. Whatever that is, from knowing who Father God is, that that will be removed from our lives. And I pray that we will be able to say with Paul, Philippians 3, 8-10, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ.
Next slide. And be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings, becoming more like him in death.
Amen.
That we may share in his sufferings, become like him in his death. Why? So that we may know him in the power of his resurrection. Paul, great apostle, done many things for God. He's seen the power of God. He said, I pray that we will share in his sufferings. Why? So that we can see the power of his resurrection in our own lives. And I pray that we will come to the place where we will actually rejoice in our sufferings. We realize, you know what? Through my going through this patch here, I don't care. I'm going to praise God and I'm going to see his glory revealed in my life. I'm excited about this valley of the shadow of death. Bring it on, death. My God is with me. And I don't fear any longer because I know what he can do. Luke 6:40, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he's fully trained, will be like his teacher. Calvin, maybe you can start playing for us a little bit. Thanks, bud. So, if I may ask a question, who here wants to be like Christ? Who wants to become like Christ? Praise God. All of us wants to. The requirement for that, though, is to walk the road of Christ as well. That's why Luke 6:40 says, disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he's fully trained, will be like his teacher. Yeah. In other words, Jesus went through it, we're going to go through it. Yeah? No, this is not the feel-good message. I know. This is the message that brings life, my friends, if we embrace it. If we ask God to make it real to us. Romans 8, 16-17, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided, conditional, in other words, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Jesus walked a road that was marked with suffering. And in that suffering, he continuously cried out to God the Father. In that suffering, he continuously hungered for God the Father. He said, reveal yourself, Father. I want to see what you do. I won't do anything what I don't see you do. And God honored that. He said, because you are broken before me, because you are humbled before me, because you seek my face, I will reveal myself through you. And we know what Jesus did. No one can deny it. It's been proven over and over and over again that what Jesus did here on earth was real, authentic. He hungered for God. He showed us how to hunger for God. His eyes were fixated on Father God. And the end result was that the Father got glory. The Father wants to get glory through every life in this room. That is His desire. My friends, you don't need to be in full-time ministry in order to accomplish or pursue the will of God. What we do need is to cry out to God. What we do need is a hunger for God. We need to come to the place where He alone is enough for us. Nothing else. He alone is enough for us. We need to come to the place where we don't share our love for Him with anything else. We need to come to the place where we can confess, Lord, I'm not what I was. Lord, I'm not what I'm supposed to be. And God, I don't have your heart. God, I don't have your burden. Because I want it easy, Lord God. That's the truth. I want it easy. I don't like valleys and shadows and death. I want it easier, God. But I know, however, Lord God, that life can be found only in you. Currently, I'm loveless, I'm powerless, and frankly, I'm not satisfied with what I'm experiencing. I'm not satisfied with where I'm at. I want my will to come in line with your will. I want to see your kingdom come, no matter what the cost. Guys, we've got a choice. I'm not forcing you to pray this. We've got a choice. We can continue as we are. It's all going to be okay. You're still going to see Jesus. You're going to have a wasted life. You're going to have a wasted life. Or we can decide if this is true of us. I know this is true of me. To go to God and say, I need you. I need to see your face. Lord God, I'm so desperate for you. I can't do this in my own strength. My heart has turned hard towards you, Lord God. I've somehow, a heart of stone has developed in me, Lord God. I need you to replace it with a heart of flesh. I can't do this. Only you can do this. I want to be most satisfied in you, Lord God, so that you may be most glorified in me. Can we stand? My last question is, my friends, is this your passion? Is this your dream? Is this what you desire? To know God. To know Him alone. What is standing between you and knowing God? What is standing between you and pursuing God? With a heart that burns. What is standing between you and panting after the Almighty? Is it a your kingdom come, my will be done situation? Because if it is, something needs to change. Something needs to give. And you won't be able to do it on your own. Tonight, I'm trusting God not for an emotional response. I'm trusting God not for an intellectual response, not for a pressurized response. I'm trusting God that He will do tonight something in the Spirit that will be irrevocable. It will continue for all of eternity. A hunger for God. A desire to see the Almighty, King of glory, manifest through my life. I'm not going to be satisfied with anything less than that. And if it means that I need to scrap things, if it means I need to get away, if it means that I, you know, just need to wipe certain things off the table so that I can see God and pray this prayer. God, I need you. God, I want you. God, it's you and you alone, Lord God. Nothing else matters. But I can't do it. Spirit of God, I pray that you will change my heart. Heart of stone, Lord God, I need you to make it flesh. Because currently I'm pursuing my own desires. I'm pursuing that what I think will make me happy. I hear other people say it won't. But I don't believe it. Because I've not seen you, Lord God. I've not seen your glory manifest. I've not seen your power flow through me. And the reason is because I've never drawn close to you. But tonight I want that to change. Tonight I say, Lord God, I want to draw close to you. And I pray, my Father, change me. Change me. I pray, Lord God, that what does not have value, Lord God, that I have burdened myself with, that it will drop off my shoulders right now in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord God, that my decisions will come in line with your purpose and your will. And that only you, Lord God, will rule my life. Nothing else. If you're standing here and you desire to be hungry for God, you want to know God, you know, yes man, my heart's not in the right place. I am not where I'm supposed to be. I'm way so nonchalant. And I need God. God, I need you to rule me. God, I want to see your face. God, I want to know you. Can you just quickly raise your hand? Father, I thank you, Lord God, for every arm that is outstretched to you. And I pray now in the name of Jesus. A hunger, a yearning for your name, a yearning for your kingdom, a yearning, a hunger to see your will be done, to see your kingdom come, and that nothing else will matter, Lord God, but you and your name, that nothing else will matter but your glory. I declare the blood of Jesus over everyone in this room, Lord God, everyone that is seeking your face, Lord God, responding to you. Thank you that your blood come and cleanses that, Lord God, that what is not of you. That your blood come and wash that away right now. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you come and that you fill your children with the hunger. Hunger. That will last, Lord God. A hunger that will bear fruit, Lord God. A hunger that draws your people closer to you. And I thank you, Lord God, for your promise. And you will draw closer to us. And I pray, Lord God, that this hunger will form deep roots, Lord God. And will draw from the depths of our spirits, Lord God. That we will draw from you, Father. As you deposit more and more and more of yourself in us, so that your name may be glorified. So that we may see who you are. I thank you for real experiences, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for the valleys of the shadow of death. And I thank you, Lord God, that you teach us not to fear evil, even in the midst of those valleys. Because my God is with me. My God, who I've come to know. Even when I was in a desperate situation, I've seen his face. I've seen what he is able to do. I thank you, Lord God, for faith that rises, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for faith that increases because people have seen your face. They've seen what you are able to do. And I thank you, Lord God, that through all this, you will be glorified forever. ever, ever, and ever. And we just come and declare our complete, utter dependency on you. And you alone. We can do nothing in our own abilities, with our own talents, with anything else that you have given us. We can do nothing with that if you're not in it. And we invite you, Lord God, in every aspect of our lives. And declare, Lord God, that these lives, our life, my life, Lord God, is surrendered to you and you alone. You be Lord, not just Savior. You be Lord, Lord God. You sit on the throne. You rule my life. You make the decisions. And I will do what you tell me to do. I will look at you. I thank you, Lord God, that you open up the eyes tonight to see what you are doing. And that the same will be done here on earth. Your name is majestic, Lord Jesus. You are wonderful beyond words. I thank you, Lord. By your Holy Spirit, you come and you touch everyone here. You reveal your truths. I just declare that the purposes of God will prevail over everyone in this room tonight. That your will be done in every life in this room tonight. Your kingdom will come through every life in this room tonight. I thank you, Lord God, that you wake people up at night to spend time with you. That they will be wide awake, Lord God, not feeling tired at all, and have this burning passion and desire to know Jesus. Like to, if there's something that's on your heart that you actually want to share, maybe you can share it now before we close off the meeting. Is there anything that you feel God has shown you? A verse that is speaking to you?
I just want to thank you, JP, for putting into words what is on my heart, because I'm so in one accord with you. This morning as we were going to Foundation 3, it was like I was trying to tell Keith what was on my heart. There's a desperation on my heart. You guys, we are not promised a tomorrow. Not one of us is promised a tomorrow. One of our friends has just gone through one hectic sickness where his arteries were blocked and he didn't get air to his brain and he doesn't get blood to his brain, and it was just hectic. But to me, we have every opportunity that we have here. We have this as a present and as a blessing to actually say, Jesus, you are all that I need, all that I have. And the more that I was trying to explain to Keith was, look at what they did to this by the rivers of Babylon. And you know, this is a heartbreaking thing. They were sitting, they had come to the end of themselves. And yet, this is a pop song. It doesn't make sense, okay? And then I said to Keith, you know what, even sometimes we sing as my... What is that word? My heart, or what as? Hey? Pants for the, as the deer pants for the water, so my heart pants after you. But we don't. It's not like, oh Lord, please, Lord Jesus, Kev. And there I was going on in this car like, Calvin, praise the Lord. Jesus, we need you, Lord. Please, Lord Jesus, please. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And this is really, it's not an inside thing. Put it out there. Shout to the Lord. Get desperate. Go into birth girls. Get it out there. Get it out there so that we can seriously get some desperation. But this is the most beautiful word that you shared with us tonight. Not an emotional thing. Not a physical mind thing. But a spiritual birth thing. So thank you, just Toby.
Amen. Anyone else? Develop? Go for it.
There's something that God showed me the week that it was like JP said that you know, we have to say, Jesus, I want to see you, you know, and I want to be like you. And what God was showing me is that everything we do, and it's actually something I C.S. Lewis once said, every action you make changes you in a way. Or every choice you make changes you in a way. So after you've made the choice, it either takes you closer to God or it takes you further from Him. But you're not actually the same person. I mean, one tends to think that the actions you do and the things you choose you make happens in a void and it doesn't affect your soul in any way. But what this guy said is that every choice you make changes you. You're a different person. You know, and I see it in the Bible. And I see, like I said earlier, like, when we behold the glory of Jesus, we are changed from one glory to another. So, what God was putting on my heart was, are we trying to just do the right things? Or are we trying to actually be, are we doing or are we becoming? You know, like becoming His sons. In terms of like, when I lived at my one friend in Stellenbosch, and then I met his father, and then I saw like, man, I can see that you his son, just because you physically resemble him. Yeah. So then I was thinking, like, are we really embracing our nature, or are we just doing things and maybe even drifting away from God? Maybe like trying to just to perform, but then we're actually just doing it in self-righteousness and becoming more like not God. And when Jesus was saying, he was saying to the Pharisees, you're doing all the right things and you say that Abraham is your father, but you're actually like your father the devil. You know, you're not God's, you're not like being like God's sons, you know, being somebody else's son. So that's the thing in my heart, like, are we really seeking, man, God, I want to be like you, like, teach me your ways, help me see Jesus and see His glory and be changed, be transformed in who I am to be more like God. I don't want anything else. I don't want to have a happy life and be comfortable, but I want to be like Jesus. He wasn't comfortable, you know. And I just want to share one story that I was on the road, and you know, I was driving like 80 far and stuff, and then all these hitchhikers on the road the whole time, man. And I keep thinking, no, it's not safe, and I'm not gonna pick up a hitchhiker. You know, what if he takes a gun or whatever? What if he has a knife? What? And he wants to take my car? That's not gonna be nice. And then but then the whole time I'm like feeling convicted, and like God's saying it to me, like, you know, I'm blessing you with all these things, and what are you doing with it, you know? Anyway, so then eventually I stepped out and I gave some people some rides, and there was this one guy, and he was standing next to the road with his little boy. So I'm picking them up and I'm taking them, and he's like, no, he wants to, you know, I'm driving to Middelburg. And he's saying, no, you can just drop me at the Weybridge. I'm like, I think I've seen something like a Weybridge, but I'm not sure. But anyway, so I'm driving, and I'm seeing, okay, and it's getting quite hectic, traffic. And I'm seeing, okay, I think that's the Weybridge. And I'm like looking, I'm like asking him, is this the Weybridge? He's like, oh, it's the Weybridge. And oh, then man, I just ran over a stop street. So then I just ran over a stop street, and I'm pulling off, and I see this cop's coming by with his lights on. And but I'm seeing he's going past, I'm like, oh, yes, he missed me, you know? And anyway, so I drop this guy, and go on. And the cop pulls me down, you know, when I get to him. And so he slaps him with the 500 fine. And So I'm like, man, I was like doing something that God had in my heart, and now I get fined for it, you know? But then I was thinking just over the gospel, you know, like Jesus got a massive fine, you know? I was thinking like, this is actually doing something that's making me more like Christ. Because Jesus didn't even run a stop street. I ran a stop street, you know? But Jesus got the fine, and he was happy with it. So I was just thinking, man, I was praising God. Like, I was thinking, would I do it again? Yes, I would do it again, you know? Because it's changing me more like Jesus. So that's just what I want to share.
Amen. Go for it. Okay. Let's make this the last one.
Evening, church. What I would like to thank God is today I finally got my word. Like, for the past 7 years, I've been going through a lot of hectic stuff in my life. And today I was like at a breaking point, and I'm like, God, everything that's in me is so dry. It is so dead. And I couldn't understand, like, Lord, what is happening? Like, I said every prayer possible in the Bible. Like, people were always backing me up for the past 7 years. And I just finally got the revelation that God wants to reveal himself in my life. And this is the word that I've been looking for. I've been crying I don't know how many times. And God has just given me my word today. God has just given me my word. And I'm going to have peace in this time of suffering. Yeah, this is my word. Gosh.
Great. Guys, I just want to encourage you that if you're at this place where you feel you don't have that hunger, you're not really seeking after God, make that the priority prayer until you know that God is your priority. Okay? Don't worry about praying for all the other stuff. It means nothing anyway. You know, because most of those prayers are anyway done, probably from a religious place. I have to place. God's not into that. Make this your prayer. God, I need to see you. I want to see you. I want to be hungry. I want you to change my heart no matter what. I want you to change me. And continue, pursue, push into it until you see the glory of God start to manifest. I started to pray this only like 10 days ago probably. Earnestly, just bringing it before God. In this week, I started to see already some fruits, beginning fruits of it. I'm going to continue, man, until walk on water. Yeah? Stop that. We're not here to play games. Yeah? We want to see the glory of God come. We want to see His will be done. We want to see His kingdom be established. You know? Have you ever thought about it? Actually, Yeni spoke to me a couple of months ago about it. And I thought, wow, this is... Never thought about it like that. When Jesus prays, your kingdom come, your will be done, as it is in heaven, so also here on earth. You ever think that in heaven there is no sickness? As it is in heaven, so also be here on earth. As it is in heaven, there is no poverty in heaven, also be here on earth. Yeah? That is what we want to see. We want to see people being lifted from financial burdens. We want to see miraculous healings taking place. We want to see salvations. There's no unsaved people in heaven. As it is in heaven, so also here on earth. We want to see the unsaved getting saved. As it is in heaven, Lord God, so also you on earth. I want to leave you with that. God bless you. You need any prayer, want any prayer, you want to chat, you want to scrum, do anything, let's boogie. Have a great week.